good to be with everyone this evening. It's good to see everyone back out. It's been a really good weekend, especially for me. It's pretty much been all about me this weekend. But I say that to say this. I really appreciate the group here. I appreciate the family here, and that can never be said enough from my side. You all have been a great encouragement to me, a really good example, and you really helped me to just keep pushing forward, keep trying to study harder and harder and grow as much as I can. You all are a really good encouragement to me, and all the things, especially that the Russells did for me and everyone else did for me this weekend, it touches me, and it's I'll just say what Stephen likes to quote Dave Ramsey, it's better than I deserve, and I really appreciate the family here. I appreciate the prayer that was offered, the songs that we sang. It is such a blessing to be able to come together and worship God, and even as good as this weekend was, this is today when we have come together. This has been the best part of the weekend. This has been the best part of the week, and I'm not trying to say that just to get brownie points with Stephen or so that he takes it easy on me after this sermon, but really this has been the best part of the week in the weekend, because it's the most encouraging. It's the part that we get to come together and worship our God in spirit and in truth. And so for the next few moments, we're just going to open up His Word and talk about that truth. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39, as Stephen said before he started leading us in song, we're going to be talking about Joseph, and particularly we're going to be talking about chapter 39 with Potiphar's wife, when he finds himself in Potiphar's house as a slave. And again, as Stephen said, this is a point in Joseph. This is kind of in the middle of the story. We meet him, and he's a young boy, and he after a while we read through, and he's betrayed by his brothers, and he finds himself on a constant up and down, you know, and he finds himself just on these bitter lows and these wonderful highs. And yet we see his character remain consistent throughout his life. And so what we're going to do is just read through the text of Genesis chapter 39 today and try to take a couple lessons and try to apply them to our lives that we see from Joseph's example within this situation that he finds himself. When I read the story of Joseph, I feel, a lot of times I feel like I can relate to him. And it could just be that he was always just one of the younger people that you learn about as you grow up and you're reading through the Bible. It could just be that, but sometimes just the experiences, I feel like I have been there. But as you read through, again, you see him going through these ups and downs, and I guess everybody has said that before at the end of the week. Man, I've really been through the ringer, and we say it pretty consistently. But I think at the very least we can find encouragement in this chapter, because again, no matter what we find, is Joseph remains consistent in his character. So let's go ahead and start in Genesis chapter 39, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' In verse 10, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her." What I want to start with this morning is kind of get into how we see Joseph's character and faith remain unchanged even by these circumstances. And then after this, we're going to talk about his answer despite the circumstances, and then conclude with God's faithfulness in the circumstance. So we're going to start again, as I said, with Joseph's character and his faith and how it remains steadfast to the Lord, even in the situation that he finds himself in. Joseph, again, as we said, he's been through some ups and downs, and this is another down. At the very beginning of the chapter, he's a slave, he's been sold. First of all, he was sold by his brothers, and now he's been sold to this Egyptian, this foreigner. And he's serving in this house, and we find that he builds some notoriety, at least with Potiphar, because of his work ethic, because the Lord was with him, because the Lord blessed everything that he did. And so I just want to make a very quick point about this, because I feel like we've already talked about it enough. He remained consistent in his character and his faith, as I think we see in Paul when he's in jail writing to the church at Philippi. In Philippians chapter 4, we remember that those verses, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, he ends by saying, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And in the context, he's talking about, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. I know how to act in any situation because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think this is the same characteristic. I think it's the same quality that we find with Joseph, especially in this chapter and throughout his life. And before we move on, I just want to ask the question, especially for us, try to think about yourself. Are we like Joseph in this story? As far as we have read, are we consistent in our praise to God? Are we consistent in our glory to God? Or are we consistent in faltering when we see something that we don't like? When we see it get kind of rocky in our lives? But not only that, Joseph, as we see in the first ten verses, he was trusted with everything. It says that Potiphar trusted him with everything in his household except for the things that he ate. And I mean, when you think about it, of course, because when you're eating something, you're looking at it before you take it. And so that says a lot about Joseph. It says a lot about Joseph's work ethic, even after being through all of these evil things. And think about how he is a slave. Joseph, a slave, is trusted over everyone, over everything in Potiphar's house, in his master's house. And also, he's trusted so much that Potiphar feels welcome enough to just have him in the same house as his wife. Now, just as an aside, you know, we shouldn't let ourselves get into this kind of situation where we are alone with someone of the opposite sex. That's not the lesson tonight. And the reason is because Joseph, this is not something he could choose. Remember, he is a slave. You can't just quit as a slave. You can't say, "I'm done. This is a hostile work environment for me." He had to be there. He was forced into this situation. And so he had to day by day listen to Potiphar, and he had to day by day resist that temptation of her asking him to lie with her. And so again, we shouldn't let ourselves get into this kind of predicament. But what I really want to focus on is that when we are forced into these kind of problematic situations, when we are forced to have to endure those situations, we should be a people where, whether it be our boss or whether it be someone from a non-believer or our fellow Christians, we should be a people where we are trusted. Even in that bad situation, we're trusted to do the right thing. As we see with Joseph, Potiphar trusted him with everything, even with his wife in the same house. He trusted him enough. And I think that says a lot about Joseph, especially being a slave. But it also is something that we need to take to heart, even when we are in those situations, because we will be put in those situations, whether it be at work. It could be at work. It could be at school. We could be put and forced into these situations that we can't do anything about to get out of. But we can but we can be godly people with this kind of character where people can point at us and say, I know that I can trust him in that situation. But I do want to focus on verse 10 for a moment before we move on. This is after Potiphar's wife asked Joseph to lie with her. And it says in verse 8 that he refused. And he goes to this this answer with her. And it says in verse 10, after he's answered no, it says, so it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. I want to focus on this just for a moment, just because it says day by day, this was a constant thing, constant temptation, constant lure to do wrong, to do evil in the sight of the Lord. And it says that Joseph did not heed her. And I think that that is a major encouragement for us Christians today. Growing up, I would hear, you should, like kind of what, like we talked about earlier, you should never let yourself into these kind of situations where things could get dicey, where things could become problematic. Never let yourself into those kind of shady circumstances. And I think that's true. We need to be teaching that. But also, I think I kind of took it too far in my head. I started to think that if I find myself in this situation, that because I thought this, when I find myself in this situation, that means I can't resist it. But that's not the case. What we see constantly throughout the Bible is people, is the faithful resisting temptation, resisting sin when it is presented to them. We see that with Joseph in verse 10. He says he did not heed her day by day. And we see this with Jesus when he was hadn't eaten for 40 days and he was hungry and tired. He resisted the devil's temptations. We can indeed resist temptation. Excuse me. We can indeed resist temptation as Joseph did. And again, it's not ideal, but it is possible. It's possible to endure. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter, or to James, I'm sorry. We'll get to 1 Peter in a second. But first to James, James chapter 1. What we find in the scriptures is that not only can we resist temptation, but we are benefited from it if we endure through, if we reach that other side, if we resist the way God wants us to. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And going a bit prior to that, verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. We can. And we can be benefited from it. We can gain patience. The testing of our faith produces patience. And we can grow in our faith if we resist all the way through. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Again, in this letter, this is a letter where Peter very much talks about suffering for Christians, what we are going to have to endure, what we're going to have to face as Christians. And he says in verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And I read that just to say this, it's encouraging to be able to read this, even when we don't necessarily, I don't think we should look at temptation as a good thing. But if we endure through and we look at it the way Peter talks about it, how we have to face it, we can have comfort when we remember, like he says in verse 7, that we may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we can have comfort and encouragement when we think beyond the now, when we think beyond past just the moment. thinking, of course, about the salvation of our souls. So we can endure temptation. We can resist it. And often it can benefit us when we do. But back in Genesis 39, if you have a bookmark, you might want to put that there in Genesis 39. In Genesis 39, we're going to go back to verse 8. Because now what I want to do is look at the way Joseph answers, even within this situation. Going back to verse 8, this is after Potiphar's wife says to lie with her, and he says, and the verse says, "But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside." And we'll stop there for just a moment. I wanted to go back in verse 8 just to look at what he says to her after she tries to come at him with this temptation, with this evil, this sin, and then go into the completion of this act. And by completion, I don't mean Joseph went through with it. What we find is at the completion of this temptation, we find something even worse happen. It says that he flees and she has this she has this outlet to accuse him. In verse 13 it says, and so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice, and it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home." And we'll stop there. So again, we see what happens. We see the evil that transpires even after he resists, even after he flees. And I want to say, before we move on to his answer, I do want to say, even in the midst, this was a suspenseful moment, because she comes in and she grabs him, and she's forceful and she's physical with this. And this does not seem like she's going to take no for an answer. So this would be a surprise attack. I can't think of a better way to say it, but this is a surprise attack. This was a suspenseful moment. And so when we get to this point, we realize that his answer had been consistent. We realize his answer had been clear, that she had to get to this point. When we read in verses 8 through 9 what he says to her, his answer is very clear, and it's not timid. It's resolute. It's clear in his mind, and he makes it clear to her. From the very get-go, from the very beginning, he tells her how it is. And I want to point that to say this. I feel like often, at least I'll speak for myself, growing up, I've had I've always loved talking about the Bible, but there have been some times where it's very uncomfortable, to say the least, as I think it often can be, but it can get very uncomfortable, especially when there's a point of contention in the Scriptures between what the Scriptures say and what someone else says. And I say that to say this: we can't beat around the bush when it comes to God's Word. I feel like, especially me, as I was growing older in high school and even in my own home, I wanted to tiptoe around what the Scripture said. I wanted to tiptoe around the truth. But we can't do that. All that does really in the end is confuse people and make things more of a mess. What we find in Genesis 39 is Joseph is clear and he's resolute, and this is something that he really believes in, and he's saying it with conviction. And not to say that you have to be snotty about it, but at the very least, be clear. When we as I was growing up, my mom and dad would always tell me, if people are trying to get you to do something you know you shouldn't do, use me as an excuse. Say, tell them that my parents would not approve of this. And I think there's something to that. I don't think that's wrong. I think that we need to take that a step further and do that with God. God would not allow this. God would not approve of this. My God would not want me to be a part of this sinful thing, this evil thing. He wants me to be better than that. He wants us to be better than that. And just think about the opportunities that could arise from that. The opening that would make to start that conversation. Maybe it wouldn't, but at the very least, I think that we need to be trying to beat around the bush less and be clearer when it comes to those answers. But also, when we look at his answer to Potiphar's wife, we find that he was self-aware. He was able to think past just the moment. We've been studying in our Bible class a couple weeks ago. We were studying in our Bible class about how as Christians we need to be self-aware. We need to be able to think to the future. Oftentimes when it comes to temptation, what happens is we get blinded to the future. We get blinded to all the experiences that we've had, and we think this is the best option right now. But Joseph, I think we see that self-awareness that we need to have when it comes to temptation. He's able to look at what he has and he remembers what he has. And this kind of goes back to what Stephen was saying this morning. In Genesis chapter 3, we have Eve, who is in paradise, but she forgot it. And she forgot the blessings that she had. And we look in Genesis 39 and we see Joseph, who was a slave, who had been through all these evil things, and yet he remembers what he has. He remembers the blessings that he has, even as a slave. He says in verse 8, "My master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife." He remembers the blessings that he's been given. And ultimately, he remembers the blessings that he has been given by God. His focus, we find, was ultimately on God. At the end of verse 9, it says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" I think that probably many, many other preachers have stood in this pulpit and explained this in a way that I never could. So I will try not to get too much into it. But I think at least that we can find that Joseph, his focus was not necessarily on Potiphar giving him all these things. It was always going back to God. It was always going back to his remembrance of God's faithfulness and God's love and God's watch over him. His work ethic and the way his character and his faith, it was never based on what he had at the time. It was never based on where he found himself at the moment. It was always based on God, who was always there. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But I will say, the more we focus on God, the easier it is to stand firm. The easier it is to stay steadfast in when it comes to temptation and sin. If you'll turn to James chapter 4, very quickly, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, starting in verse 7, says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." The closer we strive to be with God, the easier it is to resist temptation, the easier it is to resist sin. And like James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. At the end of verse 7, when we submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. I think there's comfort and encouragement to take from that. If you'll turn back to, you don't have to turn there, but in Psalm 119, I think this is essentially what the psalmist is saying. In verse 11, he says, "Thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And that begs the question, how close are you getting to that word? How much are you striving to get to know that word throughout the week? How much do you go to that word throughout the week when it comes to the various situations that we might have to go through? But again, back in Genesis 39, ultimately what we see happen, it says that he does not heed her day by day. She's tempting him, and he does not heed what she says. And it says at this time when she comes and she grabs a hold of him and is forceful, it says he flees. Now this... Okay, I'm going to use this example. And I talked to Stephen. I didn't know if I was going to use it, but he was okay with it. So I used to... It was a small amount of time, but I used to be in a Taekwondo class. I'm not nearly at the same level as the Luffman boys, but I was in a Taekwondo class, and one of the first things he talked to us about was self-defense, obviously. And one of the first things he said about self-defense is he was trying to get us hyped up and get us ready to spar, so that way we can start to practice that self-defense. And he said, "This is what I want you guys to do." And he got the biggest guy in the class, I mean, more than two times his size, the biggest guy in the class, and he stands across from him, and when we say begin, we all shout begin, he turns, and he bolts out the door. And that's something that you're going to find pretty consistently when it comes to self-defense. You find it on YouTube videos a lot of different instructors. It's very consistent that instructors will advise that. Just run. Flee. You're not a coward if you're still living. Well, that's not completely true, but in the context, it made sense. But this is what we find Joseph doing. He flees. And I think, especially as a guy, that's hard. We want to take every punch because I can take it. But what we find in the scriptures is don't give temptation that chance. Don't give sin that chance. And in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 29 through 30, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it away. It's better for one member to burn to burn than for your whole body to be burned in hell. And he says if your right arm causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it away. Don't give sin that chance. Let's not put ourselves in that situation. And if we can... go, flee, get rid of it. Get rid of the temptation. And again, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, a verse that we know, a verse that we're very familiar with. Paul is talking about, he's talked about a couple different things. He's talked about food with idols and food offered to idols, and he's talked about idolatry. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 12, it says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." This is also something that we can take encouragement from. That in everything, God gives us the way out. And again, that's not to say that sometimes we're not forced into situations that we can't get out of. There are situations that we're forced to be in, that we're forced to be a part of, but God always gives us a way out. And sometimes it's a hard thing to do, especially in Joseph's circumstance. But he did the only thing he could do, and he fled. He ran. And that takes us to our final point, and that is God's faithfulness in any circumstance and in the circumstance. If we'll start back up in verse 16, Genesis chapter 39 and verse 16, it says, "So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside.' So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did, your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. And so we conclude the chapter. In verse 21, it says that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. When we talk about these types of situations, where we feel forced into it, where we feel like we can't do anything about it, and we see Joseph, he does the only thing he can. He flees. You know, we don't know what's going to occur. Joseph didn't know what was going to happen, but he flees. He flees anyway, because that's the only thing he can do for God. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, Peter has been talking about Christians, particularly how Christians will have to face suffering and face persecution. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator." When we remember, that God is faithful, every time we read through the Scriptures, we read about God who's always there and always waiting for His faithful, always there for His faithful, we can take comfort in that. When it comes to those circumstances where it seems too hard to bear, when it comes to the circumstances where we don't know what to do except flee, and we don't know what's going to happen after that, but we do know God is still there. And we know that God is faithful to those that are faithful to Him. And we learn that it's better to be with God than without God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting at verse 14, it says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul talks a little bit about how he was greatly harmed, and yet he says in verse 17, "The Lord stood with me." He remembers that. And I think, again, that goes back to the language in Philippians chapter 4. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I know He's there. I know He's there for the ones who are faithful towards Him. And even when, I think this is especially encouraging when we think about how, especially in Joseph's case, the whole world is against him. If you think about it, there's nobody on Joseph's side. She goes as far as lying about him. His own flesh and blood, his own brothers sell him. And yet, we find in Genesis 39, verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph. He was there with him. He was there with Joseph. And Joseph was faithful towards God, again, not because of the circumstances, not because of what he had, not because of how low he was brought, but because he was faithful to, because it was God. And again, we may not know what's going to happen when we do flee. We may not know what's going to happen when we do resist temptation, when we have to go to the extreme and use that escape. But we know at the very least that God is faithful. And we know at the very least, like Joseph, that we're not going to sin against God. So, if I may ask, the past few weeks, this past week, have you been faithful to God? Have you remained faithful to God? It's been a stressful week for some, maybe not so much for others. In either circumstance, whether you are living in abundance or you're living in a low place, Have you been faithful to God if you are a Christian? Have you forgotten Him like Eve did when she was in paradise? Or are you remembering Him like Joseph when he was still a slave? If you are not a Christian, but you would like to have a faithful, or you would like to be faithful to a God that is faithful to His servants, to those who obey Him, that is exactly the choice you have to make. You have to choose to obey Him. God is there for those. He is longing for those who are not Christians to become His children. Excuse me. But for those who are not Christians, you don't have that comfort. You don't have that opportunity to be comforted with a faithful God because you have not obeyed Him. Every day has just been a rejection. If you would like to become a Christian, you could do that tonight. You can be baptized into His death to rise in newness of life. And if you are a Christian but you need the help of the congregation here, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.